The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, March 23rd, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 43rd episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some of the historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: on the occasion of Richard III's reburial, there were a number of stories on Richard and his place in history and literature. MLive.com ran a story on the production of Julius Caesar that runs this weekend, presented by Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company at the Beardsley Theater at the Fronthal Center for the Performing Arts in Grand Haven, Michigan. KansasCity.com ran a story on The Merchant of Venice by Heart of America Shakespeare Festival at multiple locations in Kansas City, Missouri over the next few weeks. WhatCulture.com ran a story entitled 20 Mind-Blowing Facts About Shakespeare. Mind-blowing? But a fun read nevertheless. The children's section of the BBC website ran a little non-fiction overview of Shakespeare, perfect for introducing the Bard to young students. The Week ran a great piece on what English sounded like during Shakespeare's day, as well as when Chaucer wrote the Canterbury Tales and Beowulf was written. News OK ran a story on the stage adaptation of Kill Shakespeare, the comic book by Del Col, McCreary, and Bellinger, written by the same team. The play is being performed by the Valkyrie Theater Company in Oklahoma City through the end of the month. Playbill ran a story on the upcoming 5th annual Shakespeare's Birthday Sonnet Slam to be held in New York Central Park, April 24th, featuring more than 150 volunteers performing all 154 of Shakespeare's sonnets in numerical order. Theatermania.com ran a story on the addition of Lily Rabe and Hamish Linkletter to Cymbeline and Jesse Tyler Ferguson to the already announced Sam Waterston in The Tempest for this summer's Shakespeare in the Park. The Seattle Times ran the announcement by Seattle Shakespeare Company of its 2015-16 season, including the Comedy of Errors, Titus Andronicus, and Romeo and Juliet. Theater Mania also ran a story on the announcement by Actor Shakespeare Project of their 2015-16 season, including Othello, Richard II, and The Winter's Tale. The Baltimore Sun ran a story on Chesapeake Shakespeare announcing its 2015-16 season, including Much Ado, Titus Andronicus, and Macbeth. And the Longview News Journal ran the announcement by Texas Shakespeare Festival of their 2015 season, including Midsummer and Twelfth Night. Broadway World previewed the upcoming production of The Taming of the Shrew by Atlanta Shakespeare Company, running from March 27th through April the 4th at the New American Shakespeare Tavern in Atlanta, Georgia. Kansas.com reviewed Ideas of Order, a close reading of Shakespeare's sonnets by Neil L. Rudenstein, saying the book makes a compelling case that Shakespeare's sonnets can be grouped into discrete ensembles that trace the trajectory of multiple relationships. The LA Times reviewed Henry IV Part 1 by Antaeus Theater, running through early May in North Hollywood, with two completely different and separate casts, saying that while it is a capable revival, the loose rein on scansion is problematic. Play Shakespeare reviewed Macbeth by the Arden Theater Company, saying that the production running through mid-April at the E. Otto Haas Auditorium, Philadelphia, is flashy, compelling, and innovative. And finally, Examiner.com reviewed The Merchant of Venice by Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, calling the production in Kansas City a stunning version of the Shakespeare classic. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. 2 days of note for March 17th. In 1473, James IV, King of Scots, was born. He was the great-grandfather of the future King of England, James I, who was also known as James VI of Scotland. Also on that date, in 1967, Chimes at Midnight, the Falstaff movie starring and directed by Orson Welles, taken from the second tetralogy, as well as a line or two from Merry Wives of Windsor and Holinshed, was finally released in the U.S. I say finally, as it was shot in 1964 and 65, and premiered at Cannes in 1966. On March 18, 1496, Mary Tudor was born. She was the daughter of Henry VII and became the queen consort of Louis XII of France. She later married Charles Brandon, 1st Duke of Suffolk, and through him was the maternal grandmother of Lady Jane Grey, who ruled for about a week in 1553. On March 19, 1930, Paul Robeson became the first black actor to play Othello in a century when his Othello opened on Broadway at the Savoy Theater. His portrayal has been said to be one of the greatest of the 20th century. On March 20, 1413, Henry IV dies at the age of 45. The former Henry Bolingbroke, his rise to power was depicted in Richard II, his reign in the Percy Rebellion in the first part of Henry IV, and his death in the second part of Henry IV. On March 21st, 1925, famed English theatrical director of Shakespeare, Peter Brook, was born. He has directed Hamlets with Adrian Lester and Paul Scofield, who also played Lear for Brook. He directed John Gielgud in both Measure for Measure and The Winter's Tale, and Laurence Olivier in Titus Andronicus. These last three were part of his stint at the Royal Shakespeare Company in the 1950s. On March 22, 1421, Thomas, 1st Duke of Clarence, was ambushed and killed by Scottish forces fighting for the French during the Hundred Years' War. Thomas was Henry V's younger brother and was, at the time of his death, heir to the throne. On March 23, 1910, Akira Kurosawa was born. He is the Japanese director of such samurai Shakespeare adaptations as Throne of Blood and Ron, Macbeth and King Lear, respectively. Both of those are really must-see watching. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending March 23rd, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.